Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is Scott Petrak, and of course he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I got to be honest. I have a headache from what happened on Thursday. I still have a headache this morning thinking about everything that happened.
He hit Rudolph in the head, not you.
Yeah, I know, but maybe I feel like it. I don't know why. Scott, it's one of those stories that just has this aftertaste that just, I don't know how, could last for a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think we're going to be talking about this for the last 6 weeks for sure. And then it's going to linger, as long as Miles is suspended and as long as Miles is around and as long as the Browns play Steelers, it's always going to be talked about. And I'm sure it'll fade at some point, but I don't think it's going to fade for these final 6 weeks. And I'm not sure how this team's going to handle it. I think that's really something that bears watching is how they deal with it, not only on the field, losing arguably probably their best defensive player, but how they handle it off the field and can they focus. And, everybody's talking about this team again, and it's not in a good light again.
Did Roger Goodell overstep his bounds by suspending Miles indefinitely on this thing, Scott? That's some of the rumbling over the weekend.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. I would agree that indefinitely wasn't necessary. You can pick a number of games. It's not like, to me, it's different. It's completely different than the Josh Gordon thing, where he needed to prove that, whatever, he was clean and that he was heading in the right direction. And it had been time after time after time, which is how he got the indefinite suspension. For Miles, it's clear cut. You saw what he did on the field, and you determine how many games that's worth. So I think Miles will have an argument, and the NFLPA will have an argument that you can't be suspended indefinitely for on-the-field conduct. I went through the CBA yesterday, and nowhere in it does it talk about indefinite suspension being a possibility. So I do think they have grounds there. I think the likelihood is this, it winds up becoming, six games of the rest of the season as opposed to indefinite, but at least there's some clarity there and it won't linger into the offseason if that does happen.
Yeah, I come in on Thursday night, it's just this whole mob mentality on everything. Like, I don't think people are taking into consideration that Mason Rudolph was extremely frustrated. He threw four picks. I mean, that's human nature, and I think that's got to come into play as far as the whole big picture. Again, you can't hit somebody over the head with a helmet. It's just stupid. You probably shouldn't be able to take your knee to a guy's genitals either. That's not exactly fair play. But I just, the whole story and how we move forward, I think is going to be gigantic for the NFLPA and how they deal with the CBA. And there's just a lot of questions that come out of this.
Well, there are. But I do think part of it's simple, is the most egregious act was Miles hitting him over the head with the helmet, and that should get the most egregious penalty. And, that's pretty clear, and I don't think there needs to be any kind of revision to the conduct policy. You're not allowed to do that. Now, the rest of the stuff, even if it's the Marquise Pouncey to the Larry Ogunjobi to the Mason Rudolph, those kinds of things happen in games, especially Larry, shoves him down, and to me that warranted a one-game suspension. Pouncey's throwing punches and kicking. Like, that stuff happens from time to time in NFL games. The helmet on top of the head doesn't, right, which is why this is getting so much attention and why it's on the morning shows and why it's on the national evening news. I know what you're saying about Rudolph, and I'm sure he was frustrated, but I think Miles is frustrated too. To me, the only reason Miles is throwing Rudolph to the ground well after he got rid of the ball was 14 seconds when the play starts with 14 seconds left. It's because he's frustrated he hasn't had a sack in three games. So I think that's where it starts. To me, Miles had no reason to throw him down. He had gotten rid of the ball. The game's over. And I think Rudolph sure was frustrated, but he's also upset that he got thrown down to the ground. And to me, unnecessarily. at that stage in the game and after he doesn't have the ball. So, you know, I think we're trying to point to, okay, he did this for this reason, he did this for that reason. I think sometimes you have to take that away and just look at the acts. And to me, obviously, the helmet hit is huge. And then what did Rudolph do? He tried to rip off his helmet. Okay, that's worth something. You know, he pushed him off with his foot in the groin. Okay, maybe that's worth something. And to me, what escalated it is when he went after Miles, when he kind of charged back at him.
The second
when
time.
When DeCastro was trying to separate him. And I thought that was kind of the worst part of it. You know, that he could have had a cooler head and things would have died down. Is all that worth the suspension? You can make that argument. I personally would have suspended Miles for 4 games and Rudolph for none. But if you go 6-1, I would have been okay with that too.
You're just asking guys, and clearly Miles is wrong. Under normal circumstances, what Rudolph did never even gets a look. That would never, he'd never be fined for that if that happened. And he didn't get hit in the head. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you mean what Miles did?
If Miles hadn't ripped Mason Rudolph's helmet off, do you think Mason Rudolph would have even been fined for pulling on Miles' helmet and then putting his foot in his midsection, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably not. It's so hard to tell. And that's where the NFL is so inconsistent. You know, I mean, remember when the Odell, Marlon Humphreys thing, right, with the Ravens? I mean, we thought they were going to be huge fines for that fight. And, Marlon Humphreys is choking him, and they both get $14,000 or whatever it was. So I have a hard time finding a pattern from the NFL discipline, whether it's off-the-field conduct or on-the-field conduct. But I think you're right. I think if the helmet thing doesn't happen, it probably goes away, and at the most, it's a minor fine for Rudolph.
I think one of the things the NFL is going to need to look at after this, you know, they need to play by the rules on what they decided the rules would be. But I was absolutely shocked to see how the players that left the bench during the melee, I mean, it's virtually no fine. And if you look at other sports, it's like, wow, it's like a cardinal sin. That's why like in hockey, yeah. I got to quit going down that road. But but players who, again, and I'm just reading this off of one of the stories, players who don't get involved in the fight but leave the bench, it's a $3,500 fine for your first time. And then it's a $7,000 fine the other way. If it's your second offense, I think that's where I'm reading it, right? They've got to stop that. I mean, in the future, I don't care about the Browns and the Steelers in this case, but they've got to set a standard that says, hey, you can't jump off the bench during one of these issues.
Sure. No, I agree with that. I think it's one thing to leave the sideline, and then it's another to get in the fight, right? And if you run off the sideline to get in a fight, that could be worse than even if you're on the field getting in a fight.
True.
You know, and it's different to basketball, right? Because basketball is so close, right? You take 3 steps, you're on the floor. We've seen how bad that goes, and you know, and it was all the story in the playoffs back in the day. But I've covered this league for a long time, and I don't remember a whole lot of guys cutting off the field to get in fights. You know, it just doesn't happen. Like, you just don't see what happened Thursday night very often, and you certainly don't see dozen players. You know, and I didn't count.
We did. It was 28-11 at one point. Okay. 28 Steelers to 11 Browns. Or, sorry, 12 Browns. The Browns had an extra guy out there.
Okay. Yeah, it looked like a couple of defensive linemen might have run on the field for the Browns, but it was a ton of Steelers. You just don't see that, you know? And, yeah, they should be fined, and, yeah, there should be a punishment. You know, I don't know if one incident makes me think that that's going to be a recurring issue, you know, especially when the league came down so hard. I'm Alex Garrett. Hopefully that acts as a deterrent. I know that that's part of the reason guys get such stiff penalties, so you hope it doesn't happen again. But it does feel like an outlier. The whole thing feels like an outlier. It doesn't feel like Miles Garrett's character. You know, it didn't feel like Larry Ogunjobi's character to do that to me. And an incident of this whole volume feels like an outlier. Now, I guess you have to try to be proactive and get ahead of it happening again. But, you know, I'd be a little leery of the league really going over the top and overreacting to something that feels like it just doesn't happen every day.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. Can I bring up a different aspect of this? The Browns actually won a football game over the Pittsburgh Steelers. It looked like Freddie Kitchens coached a pretty good football game. And that's probably rightfully so, been completely buried, and Freddie is getting blamed like crazy for running, you know, what looks like Australia back when the Brits were putting all the bad people in Australia, right? Is all that fair?
I think it is fair. I think when you take a step back and you look at the season in general, I think it is fair to question, are these players under control for Freddie? And to see, has he instilled the right discipline and accountability? I know he talks about it a lot. The question is, has he instilled that? And has he set the proper tone? And it's hard to argue that he has when you see something like what happened Thursday night. You know, and if I think it's fair to throw in the helmet-to-helmet hit that knocked two Steelers out of the game.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to look at the 18 penalties in the opener and Miles getting three 15-yard penalties within the first 2 weeks. And I don't blame Freddie for Miles on Thursday night, right? I don't think any coach could have prevented that. But I think looking in general, the coach is supposed to set the tone, and players are supposed to respect the coach and do what the coach tells you. And there just hasn't been enough discipline from Freddie Kitchens' team through 10 games now. And as for how he coached Thursday night, you know, I thought the team was ready to play. They obviously played with a lot of passion. He talked about playing with passion and not emotion. Obviously, they crossed the line there on multiple occasions. It's a big win. It did get overshadowed. I didn't love how he called the game. You know, we talk about his play calling a lot. I did not love how he called the game. There were plenty of chances to, you know, bury the Steelers, and they couldn't do it until that final Joe Schobert interception. So I thought there was good and bad. But if there does, if the last 8 seconds don't happen, we're talking about two straight wins, 2-0 in the North. Can they make a playoff run? And now all of that is, to me, so much more uncertain given what happened.
Last question for you, just a big picture. Why does the NFL even have the replay on pass interference call? If they're not going to call it, it's ridiculous. So, like, let's go back to the way it was. Doesn't matter. Because they're not – I mean, yesterday DeAndre Hopkins was like, what? I mean, that was pass interference.
Yeah, he was mugged in the end.
That was – I don't know how else you can define pass interference. And it, to me, it's just the official saying, you know what? Forget you, rules committee. We'll be strong.
Yeah, well – I mean, I get what you're saying. And there have been plenty of examples of calls that should have been overturned and weren't. I won't argue with that at all. I will go back to the fact that the reason there is a rule is because of that Saints NFC Championship game. And if the rule's in place to prevent a team from being robbed of going to the Super Bowl, then maybe that's the only purpose it needs to serve. It doesn't matter in the third quarter of a Texans-Ravens game, right? But it matters in a playoff game where it's an elimination game. And I'm not saying that's right, but I think when they had this compromise to put the rule in, that was a compromise. Fine, we're never going to have a team robbed of the Super Bowl again, but we're sure as heck not going to overturn, you know, two pass interference penalties a game.
That's the best explanation of that I've heard. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I've been trying to figure out why, and that's the only explanation of why, Scott, that makes any sense to me. It's for the most egregious thing that could cost a team a playoff spot or something else. Although you never know if a playoff spot could be, you know, cost during a regular season game. That was not the case yesterday. I mean, the game wasn't completely out of hand at that point, but it looked like Baltimore's going to win that game. So that's a good explanation.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, Miami coming up. By the way, the Browns are in the hunt, in case you're wondering. I saw them on the hunt.
Say what?
Yeah, they're in the hunt. I don't know if anybody realizes that's going on, too. But
who knew?
They're still in the hunt. So they've got that going for them. Scott, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, right. Scotty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.